So back in the year 2010, I gave this message on the subject of vision, and Margaret has constantly been asking me to do a follow-up message on this subject. And today, we have that opportunity to do the follow-up. The message will start with a bit of a video presentation. It's actually about 30 minutes long. It's excellent. In 2010, the president of Empire Life, he was a new guy, had everybody in the company go to one of the local theaters, and there was popcorn and drinks and candy, and we saw this 30-minute presentation on the subject of vision. And what it does is it breaks down the subject of vision to explain the concepts that make it up. And I think it's, again, when I came out of that, I wasn't feeling all gung-ho about Empire Life. I was thinking, boy, this is excellent material that the church could really benefit from. And so it was well-received in 2010 when we did it here in services, and we have the opportunity now to start with that and then to go beyond that and talk about vision, and that's covered in the other handout. So this first page is the 2010 handout, and the other three pages are additional vision statements, mission statements, and things that have come since then that we'll discuss a bit as well. So I'll go ahead and start the video presentation first. The film is actually done in the 1990s, so when he was talking about great technologies like the Sony Walkman, that's a cassette tape unit, and of course, we've come a long way since then, but even though some of the examples are a little dated, I think there are some pretty powerful examples as well. Again, the first page of the handout is what I was able to talk about in 2010. So again, some of the things talk about the idea of vision. What does the Bible say about vision? And is God visionary? And I used three or four scriptures to talk about that. The first one is Proverbs 29, which says, "Where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he." So the idea of vision is a scriptural principle. In James 2, it says, "If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warm and filled,' but you do not give him the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit?" So there it's talking about the idea of vision needs action as well. You need to, you know, help the people, not just you know, think about things. In Hebrews 11, we have the example of all the faithful people in Hebrews 11 that are described through Scripture. And it says, "All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on the earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." So again, the faithful in Hebrews 11 are still looking forward to what God has for us. And the fourth example is in Matthew 6:33, where it says, "But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So the idea of priorities in life, that your first priority is always the kingdom of God. That's key. In the film presentation, there is three different authors, and that he used comments on vision. The Fred Pollock example, that nations that achieve start with a positive vision of their future, and he gave examples of how Greece and Rome and the United States follow that pattern. And he makes the point that it's dreams plus action that is needed to succeed. And again, I use the example from James that says, "Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone." So the idea of just thinking of something isn't isn't what's going to make the difference. It's action as well. The Benjamin Singer example, I thought, was pretty incredible. The example of Eugene Lang offering a scholarship. He comes to do a speech to a bunch of a classroom of students, and deciding that he's going to give them a scholarship is pretty incredible. And the results of not just giving them the vision that they can go to college, but also he called it a pathway to success, where he still had to work with the students, the parents, the teachers, so that the students would be able to achieve. But money alone wasn't enough. So just the vision by itself isn't enough. There's action that was required to accomplish that. And it reminds me of how the Holy Days is God's example of how he gives us this stepping stone, this pathway to success. Because every year we get the chance to focus on those things that are important, that God knows is important to us. So the idea of identifying sin and overcoming sin isn't just something you do once in your life way back when you were baptized. It's something you focus on every year when the days of unleavened bread come around, when the Passover comes around. But also the vision for the Feast of Tabernacles and what God's kingdom is going to be, that's something as well that's rehearsed every year. So each of the holy days has a part in God giving us an opportunity every year to rehearse what our vision is, what things are important, and we benefit from that. And I use the example in Leviticus 23, where it says, "The Eternal said to Moses, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the feasts of the Eternal, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts." So, again, the reason God considers those so significant is because it gives us the opportunity to rehearse that vision that he has for us. And then the example of Viktor Frankl, the Holocaust survivor who wrote the book Man's Search for Meaning. He talked about the essential trait for those that survived in the Holocaust was the ones that made it through had something significant still to do in their lives. And again, sometimes they even forgot about it, and when they were reminded, that was what gave them the encouragement to continue on, even when they were ready to give up. So this concept of vision, in that case, was able to save their lives. We have some other scriptural examples here. In Ecclesiastes it says, "I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and that also every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is a gift of God." In Philippians it says, "For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better, nevertheless to remain in the flesh, which is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you, all for your progress and joy of faith." And in 1 Corinthians it says, "To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." In the example of the river, he talked about the best way to cross the river is to have a vision of the future, and it will reach back like a rope to be a beacon of the goal and something to hold on to during challenges. So when you're crossing the river, you're getting pushed downstream, you remember, here's what my goal is, and you can aim at that goal. In 1 Corinthians 9, it talks about, "Do you not know that those who run a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, yet we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." So Paul talks about that sense of vision, and he uses the example of a runner in a race. In 1 Corinthians 2, he says, "But as it's written, eye is not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. So we have, again, this awesome vision that's set up for us. And again, he goes through the list of the key ingredients of vision. And the first one is that vision is developed by leaders. So we as a group can sit around and chat about vision, but we're not necessarily going to be the ones that are going to come up with what the visions are going to be. It's the next point I make is that Christ is the founder and leader of the Church of God. And so we certainly look to him to help set what our vision is going to be in God's church. In Matthew 16:18 it says, "And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." We look to the ministry to also set goals, assess opportunities, and set direction. And back in 2010, when I was looking around for what kind of statements of vision existed at the time, the only place that anything was listed was on the website for the church in the States. And here's what's listed. It says, "Our mission is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. We are blessed with four basic tools to accomplish this: personal and local church evangelism, television and radio broadcasting, booklets, brochures, study tapes, and the internet." So again, if we use the criteria that was listed in the presentation, those specific things, we have a vision statement that is pretty specific, and it lists exactly how we're going to be doing those, how we're going to accomplish that vision. So it was a good start. Just to continue with these points, it says a vision must be shared and supported. In most cases, we're called to a knowledge of the truth by these tools of evangelism, so we're eager to support these initiatives and to help others to come to the truth. I happen to come to the truth by listening to the radio years ago as a teenager. And so I'm always a big supporter of mass evangelism because it was effective for me. So I think it should be effective for everyone if it works for me, if it worked in my case. But I understand that some people, we're not brought into the church by that. Some people were brought into the church by the example of another person. And then when they followed up to ask questions to that other person, then people were able to come to church by following through the example of another. So there's different paths to get to the goal. A vision must be comprehensive and detailed. So again, the point that he makes is that everybody, so here we have a congregation, everybody needs to know how they're going to be able to contribute to what the vision of the church is. And again, he asked a bunch of questions. How and why and when and what are questions that we can ask to try to come to an understanding of what's our role going to be in accomplishing the vision of the church. The last one is it has to be positive and inspiring. It says, "The Church of God offers the world God's answers to the big questions of life, a way of life with God's law that offers the best opportunities for joy and fulfillment and avoiding the consequences of bad choices." So again, when I was growing up as a teenager, I benefited from knowing things like the laws of success that the church was teaching. Knowing the Ten Commandments helped me stay out of all kinds of trouble. And so we have these nuggets, these things that are available that can help other people. And so we're eager to do that. Point number five talks about the concept of values. And it says, "Values measure the rightness of our direction. Vision determines our direction." And so again, in Philippians, there's a scripture that that helps here. And then point number six was the star thrower example they used at the end of the presentation, where he makes that simple statement where it makes a difference to that one. So we realize that we're not necessarily going to be able to help everybody on the planet, but there's a circle of people that each of us knows, and I don't necessarily know each of the people that you know, the people that are in your circle of influence. And so our goal initially this should just make a difference to those that are, you know, within contact of us. And hopefully, we'll have opportunities to make a difference beyond that. Again, in the presentation, the conclusion that he makes from the star thrower example is that the star thrower is someone who chooses not to be an observer in the universe, but to act and make a difference. So again, there's a role for us to be actively doing things, not just passively observing things. And to conclude, he makes three short statements to identify, where he says, vision without action is merely a dream. So if you're just thinking about stuff, that's great, but it's only a dream if you never act on it. Action without vision just passes the time. So you could be doing a whole bunch of things, but if you don't have an idea of where you're going with it, you're just perhaps going in circles. And then the last point, vision with action can change the world. And I concluded with a scripture from Jeremiah 31 where it says, no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Eternal. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I'll remember no more. So again, we all look forward to a world where everybody knows God. So that's what was covered back in 2010. Since then, all of this has come out, which are different vision statements that exist for the church. The first one, I was made part of the internet website project, so it has to do with redoing our website for the church and also all of the social media that the church does. And of course, because I have this background in vision, the first thing I wanted to do was identify, well, what exactly is our goals? What's our mission? What are the key strategic things that we're aiming for? And so across the top, we have the scriptural direction from Christ that says, our mission is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. And we have a Matthew example for that. And then per the CGI website in the States, it listed the four ways that we can accomplish that. And so that's what these next four points are. But since then, we've had opportunities where the Canadian ministry has gotten together and they've created a 10-year plan. So again, in the presentation, it was talking about creating plans that are 5 and 10 years out. The Canadian ministry got together a couple of years ago and they created a 3-year plan and then a 10-year plan. And so we're in year 2 of the 3-year plan. And they created some specific vision statements. The two vision statements they created was that, and again, the first one is in this pentagon here, and it talks about in pursuit of excellence. The first wording they used for that was best in class. We want a best in class ministry. And that ended up causing problems. So again, sometimes with vision statements, you have missteps. The problem with the idea of best in class is it kind of creates this idea of competition where if we're the best, then that means we're better than you or you're worse than us. And so that association caused some people to have problems with that vision statement. And if you can't get behind a vision statement as a group, then it becomes divisive. And so it was changed recently, probably in the last few months. And the wording is now in pursuit of excellence, because everyone can pursue excellence, and you don't have to be comparing yourself with someone else if that's what the goal is. And again, one of the points made in the presentation is that it's important that a vision statement be communicated. The only way I found out about this is I happened to be writing to the ministry about something else, and someone came back and made the point, oh, we've changed that wording to this. So I'm thinking to myself, it's really nice that you've changed the wording, but if you haven't communicated it anywhere, it's not going to be effective. And Again, I followed up and said, can I have any new graphics and things of this material? And again, nothing has been done yet. So it's still fairly new that that point had been changed. And so we have the benefit of knowing about it here, but some in the other church areas may not know about that yet. So
God is leading it.
I like to think so. The next point in the vision is our community is the safest place. So the idea there is that coming to church should be a sanctuary. When you come here, when you leave, you should have an extra spring in your step and you'd be happy. Not dragging your feet out the door. I'm glad I endured that again. I'm done that for another week. So the hope is that we as a group of brethren are uplifting to each other, and that people are happy to come and be here and to spend time with us, and that we encourage people to share what your challenges are and share what happy things are happening in your life as well. So the goal of a congregation is to be a safe place for people to come to, not a war zone where people are going to be arguing over doctrines or arguing about who does what role. The goal is to be a safe place. So those were two of the vision statements that our Canadian ministry has set for us. And again, as part of these three-year and 10-year plans, they created also some focus areas. So in their first focus area, so this was for 2015, is to focus on developing a healthy sense of mission and healthy communities. So part of the goal in last year, and again, this was part of what George Ramakan was doing in setting up some evangelism programs. Part of the goal of the first year is helping churches identify what your strengths are and what things you'd like to work on. In the case of Ottawa, we did some surveys, and it came back saying that spiritual gifts was an area that we didn't really have any sense of what our spiritual gifts were. And so we've had several messages focusing on spiritual gifts. And again, what our goal is to find something that we think is a weakness and turn it into a strength. So I'm not sure that we've accomplished that yet, but I believe we now better understand spiritual gifts and what their role is in our congregation. In 2016, their goal is to of the ministry is to start to develop some of the local leadership. So again, there are church areas that don't have ministers that are local, and ideally that's something that the Canadian ministry has identified as a goal that they would like to work on this year. And then next year is the concept of plural eldership. So again, if some of those local leaders can be ordained, then we have then a plurality of elders. So it's not just one person in an area. We might have a couple of people in an area. In the case of the Toronto congregation, they had the benefit of, at one time, probably like five ministers, where none of the other church areas had a minister. We've since now got the Burlington congregation start, and there's two ministers there now in Kitchener. Rick Dubler has been ordained, so he's a minister in the Kitchener area. And it continues as they add people to the MAP program, Ministerial Apprentice Program. The third item that's listed there as a focus area had to do with income. And what that has to do with is the ability of the church to do work and to send ministers to travel, to produce literature and the DVDs and things like that, is based on the church having a certain amount of income to be able to do and accomplish those things. And back in December of 2014, they came up with three different numbers for what our goals were for income for those years, coming forward for the next 3 years. As it turns out, we're nowhere near those numbers because things happened. There's some church areas in the Western Canada decided that they wanted to become independent, and so we didn't have as many people and we didn't have as much geographical area anymore. And so things like that can affect your numbers. And so again, understanding this idea of vision and wanting to make sure that we have realistic targets, you have to change what your vision or what your targets are going to be. And so one of my roles as president of the board has been to nag the ministry and say, hold on, 3 years ago you set these numbers, and we're not going to achieve those numbers. What you should be doing is setting a new set of numbers that might be achievable so that we can work at achieving something. And so the ministry meet every month, and so one of the things that's on their agenda is to revise that part of their kind of vision statement, their goals for the three-year plan, and we'll hopefully hear some results from that. So the other areas here have to do with strategic objectives that have been set by the ministry or by the evangelism group. So there's kind of two different groups that are producing some of these vision statements. And again, for evangelism, so these are things that George has identified, and there's been meetings with the evangelism team, and for the Ottawa area, Peter is the representative that's been selected for the evangelism team, and he ideally is communicating some of these goals, evangelism goals, to the local congregation. And when guys like George come, he should be, again, reminding people of here's what some of our vision statements and goals are, and strategies that we're trying to use to achieve these goals. So again, we don't have time to necessarily read and go through all of these. I'm just trying to identify that in 2010, all that really existed was this much up. And now we've developed quite a bit more significant vision statement and specific things that we as a group can be aiming for. On the next page is a write-up that the ministry put into the January 2015. So it was in December of 2014 that they came up with all these vision ideas. In January 2015, the church in Canada has a newsletter that they put out. I think everyone on the mailing list gets that on a monthly basis. The January 2015 one had a nice write-up of what the ministry's goal was for the vision for the 10-year period that we're... And so they explained what they meant by best in class or safest place. And as we can see, in addition to vision, it talks about values. So what some of our core values are going to be. And then as well, it talks about how the vision... the two vision statements, how they relate to the values. So there's a bit of a diagram that shows that. So I thought that was really good. And again, I won't read this to you. It's something that was made available back then. There's actually a sermon, because Adrian Davis did come and give a message based on this. And for a long time, I had it up on the Canadian website, but I'm pretty sure it still exists on the Ottawa website. So if you wanted to look up something like Vision 2025, on the Ottawa website, Adrian Davis gave a message that this is probably a pretty good summary. Additionally, I went snooping around to see if there's any other vision things existing out there. And we know that the Infuse program is still a national program that's developed by Headquarters CGI. Mike James is the minister who is in charge of that program. And it's targeted for the church youth up to like age 35. So it's kind of for singles and youth in the church. And again, here we have an opportunity to have a look at what's the mission statement of the Infuse program? What are the specific objectives that they have? And Having watched this presentation, you can start to evaluate, are these specific? Are these, actually, is this a good vision statement or not? And I think it's actually a pretty good one. On the bottom, there used to be something called SKY in the Church of God International. And that was a program that was set up for the youth in the church. So this would be for... everything, I guess, school-age children and up until teenagers. And it would have Bible lessons and materials that were available for the youth. So again, it was started around around the year 2001, in that time frame, and Noni McVeigh was the head of that, and she had some teenage daughters, and they worked and they developed a gorgeous website, and they developed some great Bible lessons. There's actually a Bible correspondence course that was done by Sabbath Keeping Youth, and all that stuff you could send to headquarters and get, or you could get some of it from the internet as well. None of that stuff has been available for years now. How did you get this stuff, Jim? Excellent question. On the internet, there's a web page, and it's called the Wayback Machine.
Oh.
And again, if some remember the Rocky and Bullwinkle cartoons, there used to be a guy, at least be a dog character, and his name was Mr. Peabody. And he would go in the Wayback Machine and be able to look at different points in history. On the internet, there's this thing called the Wayback Machine that has snapshots of websites, pretty much every website that's ever existed, and has snapshots at different points in time. So I was able to go back to, you know, like 2003 and harvest all of this Sabbath Keeping Youth material. So I've got all kinds of PDF files. And again, what my goal is to get this stuff into our new website presence, because we want to have materials for all different age groups. Youth is being one, and also for singles, for seniors. So again, different demographics have different needs, and it's just something that was really unfortunate that people had worked, and you could tell that they put all kinds of time and effort and developed some really gorgeous materials. And it was just gone. There was no place you could go to get it. And so I was really pleased to find this Wayback Machine and able to make that available once again. The CGI Toronto website, again, they have the benefit of being a bigger group. And on their website, they've developed some additional pages. So they have a page that talks about what their mission is. It talks about what their values are, something about their culture, the approach that they take. And again, all this stuff is written here, and I'm not necessarily, again, going to cover it all, but I'm going to talk about it from the point of view of people have had the opportunity to think now about this concept of vision, what kinds of things that they feel is important, and the leadership has provided some direction on vision. And so here are some points, and again, you can have a read through and decide, you know, is this good or not? And again, as was mentioned just a few minutes ago, the Ottawa Church may be farther ahead than the people in the Toronto Church, because a lot of this stuff probably hasn't been communicated to the people in Toronto. And if they haven't gone to their own website and looked it up, they're not necessarily going to have seen this. But for the material to be of value, you need to have a chance to you read it and have a look at it. The other page, which is the last page, that was really awesome, is an idea of a strategic plan that was developed for Toronto, having their vision statement and things like that. And this was done at the end of the year 2011. And the neat thing about it is it kind of breaks down some of the major groups, and it asks what questions you need to ask to be able to fill in that area. So in the case of vision, it asks in really tiny print, what we see in our future. So to be able to answer the vision statement for Toronto, we see in our future a dynamic, actively serving congregational family that worships God in spirit and truth and keeps the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. So what's the mission for Toronto? To work within the greater Toronto area, to preach the gospel to all nations, to prepare God's people for a marriage to Jesus Christ. And it gives some scriptures. So what's the guiding principle that they have? It says, in small print, what directs us in all circumstances? So what are some of these, you know, core value statements that provide direction? The guiding principle, it says, we ought to know how to behave ourselves as the temple of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. And then, again, in the presentation, we talked about values. Values are different than vision. Values don't give you the direction of where to go, but it can tell you the rightness of your direction. And again, this 10 different values that exist for Toronto. And again, I bet you if you corralled 9 out of 10 people in Toronto, they couldn't list 2 of those values. And so if you memorize 3 of them, then you'll be ahead of most of the people in Toronto on their vision statement. But again, the last point that was listed there is goals and what we plan to accomplish. So again, the key with vision is action, where you turn this direction that you have into actual actions and things that you do. So again, here they list some things. And again, this goes back to 2011 when this was originally developed, and we could potentially talk to people in Toronto and ask them to comment on how well have you done as far as fulfilling what specific things you were trying to achieve. And again, the last page talks about some of the ministries that exist in Toronto. So I give examples on the bottom of the big paper of the various CGI ministries that exist, and this is in Toronto area, and what their vision statements for each of those ministries are. So again, they've got a youth ministry, a men's ministry, women's, infused, a family ministry, a music ministry, a prayer ministry, administration. So all these different areas where people can choose to get involved. And it talks about what goals they have for each of these ministries. And again, the second page of the small paper just shows how all of those ministries work together with the leadership of the ministry to work towards the goal of CGI Toronto becoming a royal priesthood. So again, I thought that was pretty positive. I guess the only other comment that I wanted to make on vision, and again, just going back to this giant page of this was every place that I could find as a website guy. Here's all the statements of vision that I could find that has come out from CGI in the States, CGI Canada, the evangelism team, the evangelism ministry that we have. And in the presentation, they're talking about how having a vision gives us direction in what we're going to do. And so the way that I use this, for example, on the website team was to create a giant spreadsheet. And each of those points went across on the spreadsheet. And all the way down was every web page we had in CGI Canada, CGI in the States, CGI Toronto. So we had all these various web pages. And what I could do was I could go along and say, this web page, and tick off what goals or strategies or mission or vision does that web page accomplish. And again, the purpose for that is to be sure that we're accomplishing the goals that we're trying to achieve. And so from that, we can also identify what groups are we wanting to serve. So instead of just having the goals and visions across the top, we could also have the different groups that we're wanting to serve across the top. So put in another version of the spreadsheet that talks about children and singles and prospective members and married families and seniors. Which one?
Street people.
I didn't have that in my list, but we could potentially, exactly. It's a case of you identify what some of these targets are, and then you look at what web pages or what materials do we have to serve each of those areas. If it's a case that there's tons of stuff for, we'll say, perhaps for prospective members, but for children, there might not be anything, or there might only be a couple of things available. And so from that, we can then identify, here's where we need to spend some time and resources is to beef up these areas. So having some vision statements, some missions, some goals, helps in each of the areas. So whether you're part of the music ministry or the prayer ministry or the ministry for hospitality, for cards for people who are sick, there's lots of different opportunities to serve. And having a list of what your visions and goals are can be helpful in helping to make sure that you can achieve them.